Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
At Christian Apostolic Church, through the Angel Food Ministry, you can get excellent restaurant-quality food at a great low price.
This food is delicious.
Angel Food rocks. You gotta try it. You can't buy better food anywhere.
When you think about saving money while feeding your family the best food, you need to think Christian Apostolic Church and Angel Food Ministry, helping families eat better.
Mine tastes that good.
It's really good.
This service is available to all. There are no income guidelines. If you eat, you qualify.
I like it.
You've got to try it. It's really good.
CAC's Angel Food Ministry can accept payment in just about any format. You can pay by cash or money order, debit card, credit card, or food stamps card, EBT. The only format we do not accept is personal check.
The food is delicious.
The delicious menu is available on our website right now, along with an order form you can print right from the website. Check it all out at www.cac.us.com/angelfood. Again, that's cac.us.com/angelfood. Christian Apostolic Church and Angel Food Ministry, helping families eat better.
It's like they say, restaurant quality food.
Angel Food is awesome.
Now, if you've just joined us, you're listening to Voice of Truth, and we're pleased to bring you at this time another installment of A Creation Seminar by Steve Grohman. Previously on the program, we've already played a portion of this series. Steve presents his seminar live hundreds of times each year in churches, public schools, private schools, and at a variety of other special functions. And via radio and television interviews, his voice has been heard internationally addressing this crucial topic. You can visit Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. Again, that's www.creationseminar.net. And we encourage pastors, teachers, school principals, school superintendents, and any others interested in helping children learn the truth about creation and helping people to uncover the lies and deception of the religious movement known as evolution to email Steve at creation@creationseminar.net. What you're about to hear was recorded live in a church setting. The voice you'll hear is Steve Grohman. He's spent the last 14 plus years on the road full time, traveling with his wife Dana and now their son Paul as well, teaching about the crucial topic of creation versus evolution. Let's roll the tape.
Every time the Bible talks about this stuff, it is up and down. The mountains arose, the valleys sunk down, the water assuaged. It's always up and down, never once side to side. And it only makes sense. That's what the evidence even shows. You go out off the continental shelf, sometimes you can go hundreds of miles, it's very shallow. You hit the slope, drops off down into the abyss. You know, here's the east coast of North America. Here's Cape Cod to give you some idea. Off the edge of the continental shelf, it sure looks like there was a lot of erosion that took place at one time. Have you ever wondered about these lost city legends, Poseidon, Atlantis, that kind of stuff? Is it maybe possible that people used to build their homes way out on the water's edge? And maybe the oceans weren't quite the same as they are today? And maybe now they're just, that's what people do today. They still build their homes out on the water's edge. Well, wait a minute. Maybe that didn't used to be under the water out there. Maybe that was the beach way out there, and maybe people lived out there. As a matter of fact, you remember when the tsunami hit? Here's February 05, the new scientist was talking about. Remember there was a whole, some of you may not even realize, know this. That tsunami uncovered an entire lost city out in the ocean that nobody prior to that time knew existed. And it's been there the whole time. Again, evidence that some people were living out there, way out there, that's underwater now at one time. In fact, they're even talking now how perhaps a tsunami sunk Atlantis. Well, yeah, it makes sense to me. Folks, there's all kinds of evidence for this. Here's a scuba diver, give you some idea of the scale of these huge cut stones off the coast of Bermuda. Somebody is building a foundation of a building underwater, but why would they do that underwater? Well, maybe when they started the project, it wasn't underwater. And maybe it is now. They moved inland and rebuilt the thing. Off the Yucatan Peninsula, there's a four-lane highway that just keeps going out into the ocean. Who's going to build a four-lane highway out into the ocean? Well, maybe that didn't used to be out in the ocean. You know what, folks? Maybe, just maybe, that used to be the beach way out there. And something's happening. And the ocean levels aren't quite staying steady. Folks, immediately after Noah's flood, immediately after the flood, the ocean levels would have been considerably more shallow than they are today. And sometimes people think, how do you have shallow oceans after a global flood? Well, we'll pick up right there here in just a couple of minutes. As we get going here in the second half, I want to show you something I think is kind of funny. You know, after we bought our little cabin up in northern New Hampshire, after we signed on the dotted line, the guy we bought it from said, oh, by the way, don't you love to hear that afterwards, you know? He said, there's this guy on the other side of the mountain that he's a nice guy, but he's a little odd. In the winter months, he's going to either snowshoe or cross-country ski or something over the mountain. He comes around, and he'll come right up by your window, and he'll turn around, and he'll go down the driveway, and there he goes into town. He said, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. Nice guy, though. Don't worry about him. But, you know. Well, anyway, now we're good friends. He's an outdoorsy kind of guy and family. You know, we do stuff with him all the time. But at the time now, we didn't know him very well. We'd met the fellow already, but we didn't know him very well. And we were doing a seminar at his church. And at the midpoint, he hits the door running, and he hits, and he's running. And I thought, oh, no, I must have said something that offended the guy, you know. And the whole time I'm talking, you know, I'm trying to think of what I need to say, what I need to skip for time's sake, what I can skip, what I just said, make sure I said it right, and, you know, just so many things going through my mind. But anyway, I thought, I must have said something that this guy got offended about or whatever. So anyway, he's gone. So I'm getting ready to get started in the second half, and he comes back just about as fast, but now he's got this thing in his hand. He's running through the aisleway, you know, coming up, he's flailing his arms. He said, Steve, stop. So I stopped. He said, you know, earlier tonight you were talking about the mammoth so much. He said, you know, I just remembered I got this thing in the mail. He said, you really ought to think about calling these folks up. These guys are having a mammoth sale. He said, maybe you can get one. I said, Joel, I'm pretty sure that's not what they're talking about, okay? But I got to tell you something, folks. I called these people up. I called them. The girl that answered the phone, she did not have a clue what to do with me, you know? It was funny. But anyway, oh, some people. Okay, so anyway, immediately after the flood, the ocean levels would have been considerably more shallow than they are today. And people think, how do you have shallow oceans after a global flood? Well, folks, we need to remember there were these huge ice caps that had to melt back. And as that ice is melting back, something's going to be happening. Now, check this out. This is a 96-mile long block of ice, a 96-mile iceberg. It may take a chunk of ice 96 miles long, 5 or 6 years to melt back. Do you know that ice all the way to Kansas City might take 200 or 300 years to melt back? And as that ice is melting back, it would show the effects of the carving it did on the way in. You would have the drumlins and terminal moraines and outwash plains and kettle lakes and basins and all that kind of stuff, the big boulder in the middle of the field. It would show that as it retreats back. That's all. Now, here's something else, folks. Let's think about this. Look at this. Let's look at this global warming thing. Diffusing the global warming time bomb. Global warming is real and the consequences are potentially disastrous. Let's look at this global warming thing for a minute. Look at this. Nature starts a warm-up. All right. As long as they have been tracking this stuff for over 100 years, there is a tendency to show a slight rise of temperature, globally speaking. Okay, now some years are much colder than average, some years are colder than the year before, but if you average all the stats together, yes, there is a slight warming that is taking place. But wait a minute, that only makes sense. Let me give you an example of global warming. Let's suppose there is an ice age going on in this room right here. This entire room is one big gigantic block of ice, except for maybe about a 2-foot walkway all the way around the outer edge. Okay, so we're gonna come in the door back there, we're gonna single file, we're gonna come through and come all the way around, we're gonna tour this ice age. Okay, so about the time we're halfway around, some of us are gonna wish we had long sleeves on, yeah, maybe even a sweater. It's kinda cold in here, that's a lot of ice, you know? Okay, so we finish the ice age tour, and we go on about our business and work for a couple of weeks, and we come back. And we come back 2 weeks later, and now the ice is about the size of this pulpit, sitting out there in the middle of the floor. Now, when we walk in, it's not going to be near as cold in here. but it sure is going to be wet. You know what, folks? As that ice is there, it's going to maintain some temperature. But as that ice melts, the water levels are going to start to rise. The shape of the continents are going to totally look different. We used to be able to walk and run and skip and hop and play out there, but now it's all underwater. And now this is the only land showing right up here where I'm standing. Well, question. Did something happen to take that land and shove it over here, or did the low spot get filled up with the water when the ice melted? Folks, the only thing that's happened is the low spot's been filled up. That's all. You know what they're starting to say about this ice age stuff and this global warming? And because they say the warming seems to predate human influence. Yeah, it would have to, according to them. Remember that slide for just a bit. Now look, they've gone absolute goofy with this stuff. Look at this thing. No CFCs. Whew. Oh, good. I can drink a cup of coffee and not worry about destroying the ozone layer. Please. Folks, come on now. Seriously. Look at this one. Ozone safe fire extinguisher. Okay, look, your house is on fire, right? I seriously doubt the first thing on your mind as you go to put the fire out is, oh no, am I going to destroy the ozone layer? Look, put the fire out, okay? I mean, you know, folks, they've gone nuts with this stuff. Absolute goofy. Now, think of this for just a second, would you? The idea, the audacity of man to think we could destroy this planet. Folks, do you realize, and God said, and it was so, and God said, and it was so, and God said, and it was so. Do you understand God put this place here, and by Him all things consist? Do you realize He's the one that's keeping it here? This place isn't going anywhere until God says He's done with it. And there's nothing we could do to change that. It's all in God's control. Do you realize God could look down on this mess and say, never mind, gone. Now, He's not going to do that because He says in His Word how it's all going to play out. But the point is, folks, He put it here. He's the one that's keeping it here. Yeah. There's nothing we can do about that. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this ozone stuff. Ozone. O3 is poisonous. The sun produces the ozone. All right, think of that. Now, the sun produces the ozone. Ozone, O3, is poisonous. The sun produces the ozone. What happens is the sun strikes the atmosphere. As the sun hits some of the O2 molecules, it splits them. And some of those singles then join up with another O2 and form O3. That is ozone. Ozone is poisonous. The sun produces the ozone. All right, now the sun produces the ozone. You notice outside, if you look out, you know, it's dark. Now, did somebody go up to a big, gigantic breaker box and go, and turn the sun off? No. No, the sun is still shining away. It just happens to be it's on the other side of the planet's light right now, not us, okay? The sun produces the ozone. Just because it's dark outside doesn't mean the sun quit. It's just not shining here right now. That's all. The sun produces the ozone. It's still doing it. Now, the sun produces the ozone. They say, oh no, there's a hole at the north and south. We're going to die. The sun produces the ozone. The sun never strikes the immediate north and south because of the tilt of the earth. The sun never gets there in the first place. So it can't have any ozone there. Folks, the sun produces the ozone. Okay? Now, the sun produces the ozone. I don't know if I've mentioned that yet or not. Oh, I did? Okay. The sun produces the ozone. Folks, do you realize the only way we could eliminate the ozone layer is if we shot the sun down? We'd have a lot of trouble then besides ozone problems, okay? The sun produces the ozone. Since the sun is producing the ozone, there better be something eating it away. Otherwise, we would reach the magic point where now we have too much ozone. Then we'd have a problem on the other side. Look, you can cut your hair today, and you're going to have to cut it again. You could cut your fingernails today, you're going to have to cut them again. You could, now, don't hurt yourself, but when you get home tonight, you could take an old dull butter knife or something and just sort of scratch along on your nose and your cheek. And ooh, oh, yuck. Oh, that's gross. Yuck. You know your skin replaces itself. You know your blood replaces itself. You know your everything. Folks, everything's in a state of balance. It's no big deal. The sun produces the ozone. Other stuff's eating it away. It has nothing to do with your asthma inhaler. I mean, it's just ridiculous the way that they go and term this stuff now. If we did nothing to do any damage to the ozone, God did. Check this out. Forest soil fungi emit gases that harm ozone layer. Ah, it's the forest's fault. We have an ozone problem. We should just whack down all the forest. No, we can't do that either. Folks, this is incredible. Look at this one. Forests belch greenhouse gases. Tropical rainforests are emitting more methane than they previously thought. As a matter of fact, folks, check this out. The methane findings are baffling scientists. The terrestrial plants produce the greenhouse gas methane, and they're back to the drawing board with these guys. And the newly revealed methane emissions have taken plant physiologists by surprise. These huge methane sources of up to a third of all the methane produced are coming from the forest out there. It's not your car after all. How about that? Folks, I mean, they don't have a clue about stuff. I mean, there's so many examples of this kind of thing. Remember when some states have strict emissions laws on their cars, you know, you don't even have to pass inspection. You got to pass emissions inspection too, because we're polluting the planet. We're going to, you know, we got to clean up the air. Yeah. Check this out. Clear skies raise global warming estimates. Clear skies. Searing times ahead as the air gets cleaner. How about this one? Aerosols and dust in the air may have shielded us from the worst of global warming. Folks, first they said the air's too dirty, it's gonna cook us, and now they're saying, oh no, we've cleaned it up too well, now it's gonna cook us. Folks, they don't have a clue. They really don't. All this stuff, you know what this is, folks? It has nothing to do with reality. It's money and control. That's all this stuff is. It has nothing to do with anything. Hey, remember the old days you'd go to the grocery store and get a paper bag, get your stuff, carry it home like this, you know? Well, now we're going to save the planet. We're polluting the planet with all these bags. So now they're going to have these goofy plastic bags that now when you get home, you have to rebag your stuff because in the car on the way home, it all falls out, you know? So now you got to rebag it. But we're going to save the planet. We are all over this country. You know, there are places where we go and say we want paper to bag our stuff, and they look at us like, oh, you lowlife, you know? There are some places that charge a couple of pennies for the paper bags. It is absolutely incredible. Well, check this out. The plastic bag has become the environmentalist public enemy number one because they're not working out the way they thought they were. Folks, it has nothing to do with anything, you know? Hey, how about this one? June 2005, Nature. Scientists, this is revealing. Now check this out. To protect scientists behaving badly, to protect the integrity of science, we must look beyond falsification, fabrication, and plagiarism to a wider range of questionable research practices. Certain features of the working environment of science may have unexpected and potentially detrimental effects on the ethical dimensions of scientists' work. You know, like what they present to the kids. Look at this one. Our findings suggest that the U.S. scientists engage in a range of behavior extending far beyond falsification, fabrication, and plagiarism. Folks, I'll tell you what. It's in turmoil out there. They really don't have anything, but boy, by the time it's presented to the public, it's always presented as they've got all the solutions and all the answers, and you're goofy if you don't believe them. You must be a religious wacko or something. Folks, I'm telling you, they have a belief system, and all of this stuff, it's about control and it's about money, and it has really nothing else to do with anything. But anyway, now let's get back to the ice for a minute. Now, we're definitely losing our ice. That's true. As a matter of fact, folks, Mount Kenya has lost 92% of its ice mass. Mount Kilimanjaro has lost 73%. Montana's Glacier National Park, in about 100 years, there will probably be no glaciers in it. We were out at Montana's Glacier National Park, and we go to the different visitor centers, and especially the big one, the main one. I went in there, and I was looking at all the stuff they had for sale, you know, on the walls and thing. I didn't see what I wanted. I went up to one of these rangers, and I said, excuse me, do you have something on the condition of the ice in Glacier National Park? And this lady said, well, no, not for sale, not for the public. And I said, well, do you have anything on the condition of the ice at Glacier National Park? And she said, well, yeah, sure, we have our own studies and reports and such. And I said, well, do you have any of it here? She said, yeah, it's back in the office. I said, well, could I see some of it? And she's, I don't know. Nobody's ever asked that before, you know? So she goes back there, she brings out this stuff, you know, stacks it, and she plops it up on the desk, and we're going through this thing, you know? And it's like, I said, well, this is cool. I said, hey, could I take some pictures of some of this stuff? She's like, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, here's just one page. I mean, we've got lots of this now, but here's 1932. Now check this out. Here are four people right here. There are four more there, but you can't see them. They're in the shadowing right there. But here's the point. In 1932, this was big glaciers. And now, as of 1988, it's green stuff growing. Folks, there are all sorts of places across this planet where ice used to dominate, that now it's green stuff growing there. We are losing our ice. That is true. As a matter of fact, in 1980, Spain had 27 glaciers. They're down to 13. New Zealand's lost 26%. The Alps have lost 50%. We are losing our ice. Meltdown in the north. Sea ice and glaciers are melting. Permafrost is thawing. Tundra is yielding to shrubs. There are areas of green stuff now growing where it used to be ice. In fact, the reduction in the sea ice is one of the most striking measures of the change in the Arctic. The total area covered by sea ice has shrunk by 3% during each of the past three decades. The thickness has decreased by even as much as 40% in some places. We are losing our ice. We were doing a seminar in New York, and this lady brings in a bag, paper bag, full of a bunch of photos and videos and things. They had been on a cruise to Alaska. She said, here, go through this and take whatever you want. So I got a lot of it. But anyway, the advertisement that she had for the brochure for the boat that she was on showed where this was all solid ice, all of this. And now it's so cleaned out that the big ships, the cruise ships, can come through there without any danger of striking anything. It's all clean. These right here, these ice chunks are the size of school buses. They're huge. This stuff, she's got video of this stuff. It's just falling apart. Falling apart right before our eyes. We are losing our ice. Green stuff growing where it used to be ice. In fact, this is funny. The French Alps, there's this, they have this big gondola ride thing. You ride up, takes, you know, 50, 60 people, and then you can walk. They have a staircase that goes to the edge of the glacier. Every year, they have to add more steps to the staircase to lead to the edge of the glacier because it's melting away. The edge is no longer the edge. We are losing our ice all over the place. That's true. Now, this is important. The speed that this stuff is moving and melting and breaking is 3 to 8 times faster than it used to be. Now, watch this. Let's suppose for a moment that we've got a big block, 1 gallon block of ice sitting right here on this table. And then over here, we've got an ice cube, like you put an ice cube of ice in your iced tea glass. And then over here, we have just a slight little shaving, sliver of ice. Okay, now this sliver of ice is gonna be gone first because there's not much there. This one will be next, this big one will be next. Now we could take this big gallon jug of ice and whack it in half. Now it's gonna melt faster because now we have just added more surface area exposed to the atmosphere. We could whack it again and again and again and again and again. We could chop that thing up into a bunch of little chunks like this, and it'll melt faster because there's much more surface area exposed to the atmosphere. The problem is, as this stuff is breaking apart and moving, it's breaking apart and moving and melting away 3 to 8 times, depending on where it is exactly, faster than it used to be because now there's so much more surface area exposed to the atmosphere. This is a very important point because it is melting faster and faster and faster. But now here's the thing. Folks, we had ice all the way down to Kansas City once upon a time. Now the news flash of the day is it's not down there anymore. Folks, this stuff has been melting back ever since the moment it was put there. Why do we think it should stop melting today? How come it's your fault all of a sudden the ice is melting today? If it's your fault it's melting today, whose fault was it when it was all the way down here? Folks, do you realize that's why they're saying this warming seems to predate human influence? Because according to these people, when the ice was all the way down here, we were just a bunch of dumb old cavemen. We didn't even have asthma inhalers. We didn't even know how to make fire back then, according to these folks. So if it's our fault it's melting now, then whose fault was it when it was down here and melting? Folks, it has nothing to do with us. It has been melting since the moment it was put there. It's not supposed to be there. It came in as a consequence of sin at the time of the flood. It's been melting back, and it's not going to stop until it's gone. And there's nothing we could do to stop it. Genesis 10, verse 25 says, "And unto Eber were born 2 sons, and the name of one was Peleg. For in his days was the earth divided." Now, people that want to put the idea of Pangaea into the Bible, this is where they want to put it. It says the earth is divided, so they say that must have been when the continents ripped apart. I don't think so, for several reasons. First of all, the flood is a pretty major event in the Bible. I mean, God spends a lot of time talking about warning it's coming, and here it is, and consequences afterwards, and he refers later on, thousands of years later on, you know, he refers back to the time and all that kind of stuff, you know. Well, that's a major event. Ripping a part of the entire landmass on this planet, moving half of it halfway around the planet, that's a pretty major event. It does not seem like God to give us half of one sentence to tell us something that drastic. It just doesn't seem like that's the way he does. Another thing, there are 273 cultures, 273, that have flood stories, flood legends, very closely paralleling the biblical account of the flood. Big boat, 8 people, lots of animals, 273 cultures. There is not a single culture anywhere that has an account of the continents ripping apart, moving around. Nobody has that. Now, the evolutionists say, well, of course not, silly. That was hundreds of millions of years ago. Man wasn't even here. Well, now, wait a minute. Matthew 19:4 and Mark 10:6, remember from Sunday morning, Jesus Christ said Adam and Eve were here from the beginning of the creation. As a matter of fact, Genesis 1 says it was a 6-day creation, climax with the creation of mankind. Well, everything was made within just days of each other, from the stars farthest out there to the tomato plants and everything else in between, folks. Everything was made in a 6-day time frame. God wrote in stone with his own finger in the middle of the Ten Commandments. It was 6 days, and it was everything, Exodus 20:11. Everything was made at the same time. Man's been here, which certainly seems to me to think, I would believe that if man's been here all along and the continents really did rip apart and move, You would certainly think somebody would have thought to make a note about that, you know, somewhere around, but nobody's got an account of that because maybe that didn't happen that way, you see. In fact, we have this longevity chart. Here's where the flood line comes down. Unto Eber were born two sons. Peleg was born about 100 years after the flood. Peleg lived for 239 years. Do you know that ice all the way to Kansas City might have taken 200 or 300 years to melt back? And as that ice is melting back, things are going to happen. You know, folks, words mean things. It's a shame we've gotten away from that. You know, Peleg means to divide by water, irrigation, river, stream, gully, division, river. You know, Peleg means to divide by water. During his lifetime, the Tower of Babel happened. You know, God mixes up the languages. Everybody disperses off into groups that can understand each other. Ice caps are melting back. Water levels are rising. Shape of the continents would totally look different. And everybody's divided by water after Babel during Peleg, which means to divide by water. Makes perfect sense to me. You know, I mean, it's very straightforward, as a matter of fact. And that is, in fact, all the that is a big bugaboo for the evolutionists, because they acknowledge that all the land masses are still connected together. And at one time, the oceans were shallow, and things could walk from one to the other. People say to me all the time, they say, "You think that kangaroos hopped all the way down to Australia?" Oh, please. Folks, there's no problem with that. You know, you could walk less than 250 feet a day. You could travel 20,000 miles. That's all the way around in just 1,000 years. All right, that's too long, so let's double it. Walk 500 feet a day. You could do it in 500 years. Hey, walk 1,000 feet a day. You could do it in 250 years. Walk 2,000 feet a day. You could do it in 125 years. Walk 4,000 feet a day. You could do it in 75 years. And that's all the way around. You could take that figure and cut it in half. Do you realize total dispersion on this planet could have happened easily, allowing for all sorts of problems? 60, 80 years, not a problem. During that time, ice caps are melting back. Water levels are rising. Shape of the continents would totally look different. Everybody's divided by water, which means Peleg during his lifetime, after Babel. It all just fits. It all makes perfect sense. And that's when the different nationalities and cultures and all that came in. That's no big deal. It's just genetics. Oriental people do not have slanted eyes. They have a little more fat under the eyelids, a little tighter in the corner. It's just genetics. That's all. It's no big thing. Give you an example. Let's suppose for a moment that I'm not married, and I want to get married and have a family. All right, now let's suppose that there are 100,000 of us in this region, and we are the only people on this planet. Okay, so I want to get married and have a family. So I've got 100,000 that I can select from, right? No, I can't pick myself. Okay, so I've got 100,000 minus me, right? No. No, this is not Vermont. I'm not picking from any guys, okay? Forget it. Okay. So I've got all of the females that I could select from, right? No, some of them are just little kids. Some of them probably belong to somebody else already, you know? What is my selection? There are 100,000 of us. My selection would come from all of the females that are old enough, that are not taken yet, that like me. Right? I mean, you know, we got to get along. They got to be of age. They got to be a female. And they can't belong to somebody else. Okay, that's my selection, as is everybody else's. Okay, so now all of a sudden God mixes up our languages and we just don't understand each other the way we used to. We played badminton at each other's house and barbecue at each other's house every weekend, but we can't understand each other anymore. So there's no reason to hang around. But there are smaller groups of us that can communicate and get along. So now my selection went from this all the way down to this, as everybody else's did also. And smaller groups of people are dispersing out. And then the ice caps are melting back, and the water levels are rising, and the shape of the continents would totally look different, and everybody's divided by water, which Peleg means to divide by water during his lifetime, after Babel, and everybody's divided by water, and dominant genetics in any one location would surface. And you'd have different looking people, but they're all still people. And everybody goes back to a point where they all go back to Adam and Eve. It's no big problem. It's like several other issues. Now check this out, the reality of race. There's hardly any difference in the DNA of...
That's about all the time we have for now, but in the future, we'll be hearing more from creation science evangelist Steve Grohman as we play for our listening audience the audio from A Creation Seminar. Listen for it next week. Also, we encourage you to log on to Steve's website at www.creationseminar.net. That's www.creationseminar.net. Make a note and check it out before our next broadcast, www.creationseminar.net.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.